Online dating has basically been around since the advent of the internet, but the adoption of smartphones and the ability to swipe right on your next romantic partner has led to a boom in the digital matchmaking industry. In response to this evolving landscape, Assemblymember Clyde Vanell, a Queens Democrat and chair of the Chamber's Committee on Oversight, Analysis, and Investigation, has introduced legislation designed to protect New Yorkers from fraud and abuse while utilizing online dating platforms, and he joins us in his studio to discuss his proposal. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Hey, David. How's it going? Great to be here.
It's our pleasure. So what prompted you to introduce legislation in this space? Were you hearing complaints from constituents? Were there advocates who reached out to you? What prompted this examination of our state law?
Well, you know, I don't want to get too personal, but someone that lives next to me, you know, one of the neighbors, one of my constituents, you know, just recently had a situation where he was scammed off of a romantic scam.
Okay.
Then I started digging deeper into what's happening with scams online and with romantic scams and with these platforms, with these romance platforms, and found out that nearly 4% of Americans have been victims of a romantic scam. Hmm. And now, keep in mind, that's overreported. Also, when we look at the numbers, we're looking at, you know, at billions of dollars of monies being lost. Also, when we dug in even deeper, we found out that New York State is fourth in the nation for reported scams, romance scams. And then when you look at these romance scams compared to other scams, the average amount and transaction is higher than other kinds of scams. All right, so the average transaction for romance scams for people under 70 is $4,500.
Wow.
The average scam for people over 70, David, is $9,000.
It's also impressive to know people over 70 are on online dating platforms, apparently.
Well, hey, everyone needs loving.
Yes. Well, so what does a scam consist of, generally speaking? Is this someone who gets like defrauded into sending someone money for something? Are they having their identity stolen?
So there are a number of different narratives that these scams come under. Keep in mind, it's usually a situation where people feel that there's a romantic connection, mm-hmm. whether they met each other in person or not. And once the person is roped in, once the person has some kind of, once the people that are, you know, vulnerable or what have you, the scammer says, I'm in a bind. I'm in jail. Or someone is, you know, or I'm in sick. Rent's due. I'm sick or what have you. And they get, you know, get money from folks. There's a recent, I don't know if you watch on Netflix, there's a recent show on Netflix called the Tinder Swindler.
Yes,
which is in line with what this bill is trying to address.
So, are there existing protections in law regarding online dating that might help with this, or are the state laws that might address online dating products of the digital stone age and maybe reminiscent of when people were using, I don't know, eHarmony or like Match.com?
Exactly. So this bill actually updates the law from the 1970s that addressed matchmakers, but real-time matchmakers, where those laws at the time would cap the amount that matchmakers would charge and would have with respect to even fraudulent matches. Now that we're on an online world, we had to kind of update what's happening. And one of the things that's happening, if you see, too, is that if, for example, the Tinder swindler, the platform, generally speaking, does not notify, even when someone is caught, even when someone is banned from the site, even when someone is convicted of fraud with whatever municipality or whatever government, that platform does it notify others that that person was interacting with. Part of the reason was because platforms were worried about liability with respect to releasing people's information or what have you. So this bill simply says that if someone is a bad actor on your site and kicked off on your site, and you see that they've had substantial interactions with others, notify the others of those interactions. And what's really important, David, is that we have to make sure that we protect New Yorkers. Again, like I said, we are number four in the nation for reported romance scams.
So how do the online dating platforms, whether it's Hinge, Tinder, Grindr, what have you, how do they even find out about these swindlers? Does the person who's been victimized need to report it to the platform? Are law enforcement obligated to report to this? Because I could imagine there's situations where these platforms are just unaware that these crimes are being perpetrated.
As of now, it's up to the victim to notify the platform that this is happening. We have to make sure that people know what their rights are, and also to let people know that they're not alone. When there's a swindler out there, when there's a scammer out there, this person is, generally speaking, a serial scammer. They generally do this to multiple people. If it's not reported, the platform won't know, law enforcement won't find out, or what have you. So we have to be able to, so this bill makes it easier for, you know, to smoke out the bad actors. And that's what we're trying to do, because keep in mind, I believe that most people are good actors on these platforms. Most folks are good actors. But we cannot protect the scammers by not identifying them, by not making sure that, you know, that they're exposed.
You talked about the serialized nature of these types of crimes. Is it possible that someone might be perpetrating crimes across multiple platforms? And if that's the case, do we need to ensure that different online dating platforms are sharing information with each other? You know, watch out for so-and-so user, whether it's an IP address or a phone number attached to an account.
The issue of scamming is not unique to online dating, right? So when we talk about identity theft and we talk about people that are changing their information or what have you, that's the issue of data sharing is something that we're trying to deal with throughout the online world and even with our state agencies. So we have to make sure that the different platforms are communicating well, and we have industry groups to be able to try to address that. But that's something that we're trying to work on better, but not just in tech, but just in real world also, right, to make sure that we are communicating so that we can prevent fraudsters from their activities.
And on the other side of the coin, I'm curious, because you are kind of one of the leading voices on high-tech stuff in the Assembly chamber, do you think there needs to be an examination of how the platforms themselves are using data, because they learn a lot about their customers, things that they could theoretically monetize? What, if anything, should the state be doing in that space?
That's one of the major conversations that's happening for policy and for tech policy, right? Privacy. The use of data. How's data being used? So not just with respect to these romantic platforms, but even with the state, right? How do we use data? How is it stored? How is it transferred? How is it used? What kind of notice do we provide the users? What is proper notice? What is proper consent for the use of that? So that's something that is that we're trying to work with, you know, diligently in the state to try to figure out. There are a number of bills that are floating out there. I have a bill with respect to, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how, you know, we deal with data and the different levels of data. Because when we talk about the conversation, what should be protected to you is different than what a 14-year-old views, than what a 70-year-old view is. Also, there's different levels and different types of data, right? There's your name, your social security number, blah, blah, blah. Then there's your metadata, your location, and your anonymized location. Right? How many times you check your phone? We have to work on this, and it's something that that's not just unique to romance sites, but that's something that we have to figure out, as a state and as a nation.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Clyde Vanell. He's a Queens Democrat and chair of the Chamber's Committee on Oversight, Analysis, and Investigation. Assemblymember, thanks so much for making the time.
David, thank you for paying attention, and thank you for bringing this information to the community.
And for more Capital Pressroom content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for Capital Pressroom provided by the William G. Pomeroy Foundation. Communities across the Empire State have stories to tell. A roadside marker funded by the William G. Pomeroy Foundation can help your town or city educate the public, encourage pride of place, and promote local tourism. More about the Pomeroy Foundation's New York State Historic Marker Grant Program for 501c3 organizations, nonprofit academic institutions, and local state and federal government entities at wgpfoundation.org.